Appreciate it. Barry, pray for me. My best friend's here. I didn't know he was going to be here, and I just figured out, since I sat down there, why all these men are here. And it's 6:30, I hear you're busy. And if I had known all these preachers were going to be here, I'd told my husband just to go ahead and take it. But like the idea, and he won't. I'm so glad to be here tonight, and I'm not glad to be up here. But what I was thinking, running through my mind, was the faithfulness of God and all His promises to us. The song, "How Great Is Thy Faithfulness Unto Me," has run through my mind for days and days lately. Just how great God is to us. The verse in Psalms 118, the first verse, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever and ever and ever." And how true it is, His mercies and love and protection is with us. I was going to talk about my husband, really. That's, the last 3 years have been quite a nightmare. And I wanted to, after 56 years of being married, medical reasons have been a real trial in our life. And they have been bad, but we've gotten through all of them, in which I really thank the Lord. 3 years ago, we started out for, he was looking for sites for the World Pentecostal Fellowship meeting around the world. And they wanted it real bad in India. So we flew to New Delhi, and he spoke on Sunday morning and feeling pretty good. He'd been coughing when we left Springfield. And had, we knew he had bronchitis, and the next morning we flew to Bangalore, and he had a meeting on Tuesday morning with the ministers there, and it was the first time in Bangalore that all the ministers in the city of Bangalore had gotten together for a meeting, and they'd had a wonderful meeting. And we had a friend there, and he knew that my husband wasn't feeling good, and he took him to his doctor. And they x-rayed his lungs, and the doctor said, "If you will eat tonight, I won't send you to the hospital." And the doctor himself, he'd come to the hotel, and he said, "If you will eat, you can stay here tonight." And he did. And the next morning, the phone rang, and I answered it, and it was our friend there in Bangalore. And he said, "How is your husband?" I said, "I think he's all right," but he didn't answer the telephone. And I got up, and I thought, what? He's always the first one to telephone anytime. And he just rushes like lightning to answer the telephone. And he didn't do it that morning, so I went in the bathroom, and there he was. He didn't know a thing in the world, not one thing. He just clear out. And I thought, well, what now? And I helped him get back into the bed, but he was just wringing wet and cold as ice. And I thought, well, this must be it. But I didn't feel worried. I didn't feel scared. I thought, here we are, and nobody. What? So I tried to get the man right away that had called me, and he didn't answer the telephone. And I didn't know what I should do. So I called down to the desk, and I asked if there was a doctor in the hotel, and he said, "No, we don't have, but we could get one pretty soon." And I said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong, but I know my husband's bad." And so they did call a doctor in the meantime, but in the meantime, I tried to get this man again and got him on the phone. And he rushed over with the doctor that had seen him the day before. And of course, he called the ambulance right away, and they rushed him to the hospital. He had lost over 60% of his blood. And, of course, he was on the critical list for 5 days. But in the meantime, our daughter had called, and she wanted to know if I wanted to come over, and I said, I sure do. She had been there just 2 years before, and she knew the missionary. But in the meantime, The next day after he took sick, there were three missionaries that flew in from the area of Bangalore and stayed with me the whole time. They stayed till the very time that we left to come home. But our daughter, her passport had run out. So she said, if I can do anything, I will. And through contacting the White House in Washington, D.C., she got her visa and her passport. They were in the Chicago area, and of course that office is open regularly, and she just went downtown on Friday afternoon and got, in 3 hours, she had her passport, her visa, and the whole thing. So that was definitely the Lord going before her. And of course she was worried about making the trip by herself. And the travels, this was back 2 years ago when things were bad. And the travel service told her, said, you dress just as rugged as you can, as ragged as you can, keep your hair covered, and set it on the window next to the inside so nobody will notice you. And of course it put fear in her heart. But she made it, she got there. And when he heard that she was coming over, new life came into him. He was so thrilled. He thought, he acted like everything's going to be all right. She's getting there. And he was in the hospital 5 more days. And of course, during that time, he had had heart failure. And it was bad. But if we had tried to get back home medically, it would have taken us 2 months to have gotten an okay. So we decided, we kept telling this Indian doctor that all we wanted to do was just get him back home. We were worried because afraid they'd want to operate and everything. And he was very interested in what we wanted. And so he, on Friday night, when they let him out of the hospital, he came to the hotel and stayed Friday night and he stayed Saturday night just to make sure that he could make it back home. And then when we left on Sunday, he went to New Delhi with us. We had an 8-hour layover, and he stayed there with us the whole time and went to the airport. Well, we had to go to the airport during the night, and he went with us to see us off the airplane. And then we had a 9-hour layover in Amsterdam. And of course, what we'd do is just take him to a hotel, and he'd go to put him in bed, keep him there till it's time to go again. And our daughter, she'd go and have the wheelchair there ready so we could take him in. And it was quite a chore. And we got to Chicago, we had another layover, but they lived in the Chicago area and her husband was there to meet us. And my husband says, I can't take any more. This is as far as I can go. And he was so weak. And so we went to their home, stayed all night, and then got the plane the next morning. And of course, he had promised if they'd let him out, but there in India, that he would go to the hospital in Springfield. So they met us, and he went to the hospital in Springfield. And God was with us the whole. It just the whole thing. God walked before us and led the way, and everything. There wasn't any worry. There wasn't any frustration at all whatsoever. We just had a peace and a contentment, and everything just worked fantastic. But he was just out of the hospital 2 weeks, and we were remodeling and fixing an office in the house for him. And I went out in the garage, and then the builders had left particle board, great big sheets of it for shelves. And I got the bright idea that I could handle it, and I did. I pulled these sheets all back on me in front of the deep freeze door to get some ice cream, and I reached around, and when I reached around to get it, they all slid and knocked me back. Fell on my leg and mashed my leg completely, both ankle bones, and I was in the hospital, of course. And he was so upset because he was still so weak from his experience, but we made it. And then last summer, he had his second open heart surgery. And they didn't want to operate in Springfield again and they gave him some strong medicine, and he had heart failure. So our son is out in California, and he called and he said, "Dad, just come out and just have a evaluation and see what they can do." So we went out there and they said, "You could have it." And so he did, and without one complication, one bit of trouble, in 7 weeks, we drove back to Springfield, Missouri, and made the trip fantastic. And the Lord has just gone before, and as a child, I hear that song singing, "Living by Faith, Jesus Alone," and I fought back in that, we've been laughing about the depression days, and back later than that, even as a child in a minister's home, we didn't have anything, and we prayed for everything. We prayed for our food, we prayed for our shoes, we prayed for everything we had. And I thought living by faith, that was it. But I have learned in the last few years that living by faith is something else more than what you wear and what you eat. It's what's in you. And in times like this, we learn to lean on Jesus. And I can say he has never, ever failed us. And where Jesus is, the song, "Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there." And we can have a heaven right down here. And I've thought so many times, preachers, why? Well, I didn't know these preachers are going to be here, or I wouldn't even said anything. Real honest, I wouldn't have said a thing. But I think so many times where Jesus is, heaven there is peace, and there's contentment, there's happiness, and he is so precious in times like these that you don't even mind the trials and all the going with the thing. It's just perfect peace, perfect contentment, perfect happiness. And sometimes I don't know what people do without God in the situations we are in nowadays. I wonder, well, no wonder people do what they do. There's no hope. They don't have hope at all. But we can rest and relax and trust and give God all our cares, all our worries, all our anxieties. And I know, I can even look at Barry, surely, and know God answers prayer. He's a living testimony himself of how God can answer and lead and control your life. It's beautiful to trust God. I saw this verse and I thought it was so good for now. "May you have enough happiness to keep you sweet, enough trials to keep you strong, enough sorrow to keep you human, enough hope to make your heart sing, enough labor to keep you from rust, enough leisure to make you broad, enough religion to make you value the best, enough of the love of Christ in your soul to make you glad and glad to serve him." And I thought, how good that we just rang a bell, how good it is to serve God. And the older I get, the more I appreciate what we can have and what we do have in Christ. And what a blessing it is to know God and to know God will take care of you. That song has been such a blessing to me through the years. God will take care of us, and we know and we can trust. I told you I was no preacher. I was just going to testify, and I think I've done okay. And I know I haven't taken as much time, but I think we take too much time sometimes trying to fill up the time. And I would rather just testify and tell what God has done for me and how I love him and how I appreciate him and how I appreciate all the things that he has done for me. I've been a Christian all my whole life. I wouldn't even know. I'd be scared to death in the world. Anything you hear people talk, and it just scares me. I wouldn't want to be out in the world for anything. I feel so protected to be a Christian and have God with me. And I'm so glad that we can have him and he can be a real true friend of ours. Amen.